You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
That exactly is the answer of the day. In fact, it's been the answer of every day. There's never been a day when the answer is not Jesus Christ. And I'm so very thankful for that music. I don't know if you felt this way, but I felt like every song that was sung was exactly what I needed. It was exactly what I needed to hear this morning, and it was for me. I have no idea who lined it up, if it was Pastor Mrs. Treiber, Brother Martinez, but I'm thankful for that music. It spoke to me and has helped and encouraged me in a mighty way. And I'm so very thankful for you being faithful to God's house today. I'm excited what God has in store for us. I have to admit, I've been very nervous as I've been preparing and praying and trying to get ready to preach this, because it's not something that you would typically think of in maybe a service like ours, like this morning. But it's been the song, it's been the message of every single song. And in my mind, in my heart, it's just God aligning all of that to tell me that's exactly what he'd have me to preach this morning. It's not like I had a backup plan. It's not like I had a second message here in here just in case. It's either I preach this or we go to lunch early. And I know for some of you, I know what your preference probably would have been, but you don't get a vote, so I'm sorry. Open your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew this morning. Matthew chapter 7. And I have to admit something to you that I don't think I've ever admitted in the pulpit, and I hope you don't think less of me. But this is not my own message. This is not a message that I came up with. If you're thinking, oh, Brother Fanera, did you scour the internet and hack someone else's message? I didn't do that. Definitely didn't do that. I didn't use AI to generate it for me. But it's not my message. In Matthew chapter 7, this is the story of the famous Sermon on the Mount. It's Jesus Christ standing before a multitude of people and preaching the truth to them. This morning, for a few moments, I'd like to preach the message of Jesus Christ, and I can't claim it as my own because it's not my words, it's not my truth, it's not my thoughts, but it's what I believe Jesus Christ would have us to hear this morning. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 24, we'll read a few verses together and I'll explain it. To give us a little bit of context, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus has begun the famous Sermon on the Mount. And he has begun preaching and has covered a lot of topics. Really, if we were to take the time and go back to study from Matthew 5 all the way through Matthew 7, so much amazing truth contained in these passages of Scripture. Jesus basically goes on the attack of religion. He begins to pick religion apart. He begins to really just show it for what it truly is. And here in Matthew 7, he comes to the conclusion. He's drawn his listeners in, and he's about to conclude his famous message. And he does what most preachers do at the end, is they end it in a story. A story that is going to explain, that is going to illustrate the truth of what Jesus was trying to say and the point he was getting across. And if you would look with me in verse number 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. This morning, for a few moments, I'd like to preach the message of Jesus entitled, A Sure Foundation. A Sure Foundation. Let's bow our heads in prayer. God, I pray that you would empower me and help me. Lord, you know this is not my truth. This is your truth. God, these are your words. These are your thoughts. Lord, I pray that you would please allow me to preach them in a way that would glorify you and please you. Help me to be honest with the word of God this morning, to say only that which you'd have me to say and nothing I shouldn't say. God, I pray that we would be listeners, hearers of the word. And Lord, I pray that we'd also be doers of the word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The story that Jesus has just concluded his message with is a very famous story. If you've grown up in church for any length of time, you've undoubtedly heard the song about the wise man who built his house upon the rock and the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The song goes that the rain fell and the winds blew and the waves crashed, and one of those houses stood firm and the other completely crumbled as a result of that storm. And so we know that this truth. In fact, it's a truth that when Jesus would have spoken it, that the people of that day would have fully been able to understand. You see, the landscape, if you will, of Israel is very much like that of California. In fact, you could take the nation of Israel and it would almost perfectly fit inside the San Francisco Bay Area. In that same area, they would have had a very similar terrain, very similar type of soil. And so what would happen is that in a sudden and immediate type of storm, as that rain would begin to fall, it would begin to gather together. And as it would gather together, it would form a river. And if you know anything about water, it always follows the path of least resistance. And pretty soon it would become a flash flood and a raging torrent that would crash through any barriers on its way. And Jesus is saying that that river, as it comes through, it comes upon two houses. One of those houses, it hits, the winds begin to blow, the waves begin to crash, and it stands firm. It's unmoved, it's unshaken, because it was built on a rock. But the other house, upon having those same elements hit it, the rain fell, the winds blew, the waves crashed, that second house did not stand. In fact, it fell. It collapsed. It crumbled. And the Bible says, great was the fall of it. What was the difference? It was the foundation. It was built on a different foundation. As Jesus is giving this message, he says there's two builders. He calls one of them wise and the other foolish. The wise man was called wise because he carefully thought through his foundation. He made sure he planned accordingly. The foolish man did so haphazardly, without much care, without much thought, without much dedication to it. He quickly put up a house. The two houses we find in this context, really there's not much difference between the two. Jesus doesn't say that one was built with wood and one was built with straw, like the tale of the three little pigs. There's no difference. There are two houses, for as far as we know, they look the same. Maybe they were built with the same materials, had the same roof structure, had the same amount of windows and doors and bedrooms and bathrooms. Maybe they both had nice landscaping outside. There were two houses. We also find that there were two foundations. One was a solid rock and one was sand. There was a storm that came and affected both of those houses, but there were two very different outcomes. One stood firm and the other completely collapsed. As we think at this story that Jesus just gave us, that Jesus preached to the multitude that day, you may be sitting there and thinking, well, I've heard that before. I know that story. I know that song. Maybe you're not impressed this morning. But look at the response of the people here in this passage. The Bible says in verse 28, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished. They were astonished. That word literally means to strike out, to expel by a blow, to strike one out of self-possession, in a passive sense, to be struck with astonishment. If I could put it in terms that we would use in modern-day vernacular, it blew their minds. That as they sat there and as they heard Jesus Christ tell this story and give this truth, that they were taken back in awe and amazement. That they were bewildered. They sat there in almost fear, thinking about what Jesus had just told them. The truth contained of what he had to say. And you may be thinking, well, I don't get it. It's just a little parable about a house and where they built the house. And I don't understand why it's such a big deal. You see, Jesus completely astonished them. But look what it says in the next verse. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Well, who were the scribes? These were the Jewish keepers of the law. These were the people who were given the task of taking the scriptures and copying them down and writing them down and being able to transfer them and make handwritten copies of them. And as they would teach, they would often cite their teachers. They would say, well, as Rabbi so-and-so taught us, and as teacher so-and-so taught us. But what they were doing is they were teaching these same scriptures that Jesus referenced in the sermon. They were teaching them with man's opinions, with man's thoughts, with man's philosophies. But see, when Jesus stood up to preach, he didn't need anyone else to reference. He didn't have to quote what this guy over here said or that guy over there said. Why? Because he spoke with authority. Why? What authority did he have? He was and is God. Amen. Jesus Christ was God. He didn't have to quote what someone else said because he was the living word. He was there in the beginning of time when he spoke the worlds into existence. He knew Abraham and Moses. He was there every step. He gave the law and he was the final authority in what he was saying. And so he didn't have to quote anyone. And as he concluded, people sat there. And I believe each and every single person who heard Jesus preach that day, it was like an arrow that pierced their heart. He wasn't mixing words. He wasn't beating around the bush. He wasn't giving them just a little bit of truth to suffice. He gave them the clear, the unadulterated truth of the Word of God. Why? Because he was God. And as he spoke, thus saith the Lord. Well, what was his message? It wasn't a message of becoming the best version of oneself. It wasn't a message of the power of positive thinking. It wasn't the purpose-driven life. It wasn't how to win friends and influence people. Here's three tips in a poem to have good relationships. No, what Jesus Christ was preaching on this day was the message that every single person needed to hear. It was a message of true salvation. Not religious discourse, true salvation. And I'd like for us this morning to look at what Jesus had to say about true salvation. We saw that there were two builders. We saw that there were two houses. We saw that there were two foundations and two outcomes. But look with me in verse 24. It begins with, therefore. I was taught that anytime in Scripture you find the word therefore, you must go back and you must see what it is there for. So if you would, look with me in verse number 13. Jesus says, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. That phrase, enter ye, is a command. Meaning everyone must enter. There's no exceptions. There's no exclusions. Every single person who has ever lived and ever will live must enter that gate. Jesus says there are two paths. There's two gates. One is a wide gate, very big, very open, very easy to enter. The second is a straight gate. Every single person, every single one of us this morning has entered through one of those two gates, either the wide gate or the straight gate. But then upon entering that gate, I find there are two ways. One is broad, one is narrow. There are two different peoples. One has many people going down, the other has just a few. Picture this if you could. A very wide gate, a very open gate that a lot of people can easily walk through. And upon entering that gate, they come to a very broad path. Anyone and everyone is welcomed in this path. It's easy to walk in the path. It's easy to enter in. It's easy to pass through it. But I also find that these paths are leading somewhere. There are two different destinations. Jesus said that the broad gate and the wide gate and the broad path, it leads to destruction. And many there be who go down that path. On the contrary, there is a very straight gate. There is a very narrow path. And that path, there's only a few people that make it in there. And where does that path lead? It leads to life everlasting. You say, what is Jesus trying to say here? Jesus Christ, as he is preaching, is cutting through all of the jargon of man-made religion. You see, in that congregation that day were his disciples, his followers, those who forsook everything, who left houses and jobs and professions and family to follow after Jesus Christ. But also in that congregation were the religious crowd of the day, the Pharisees, a group of people that Jesus preached against because of their externalism, doing everything for a show for mankind. Yes, they were doing good works. Yes, they were obeying the law. Yes, they were following the rules. They were dotting the I's and crossing the T's, but they were doing it for their own glory. And Jesus called them out and said, that's not going to get you to heaven. Amen. What is Jesus' message? It's a message of salvation. It's a message that there is only one way to heaven. There's only one way. There's only one path, there's only one gate, there's only one way, there's only one truth, there's only one life, and it's through Jesus Christ. There is no other way, there is no other truth, there is no other life. Today we live in a world with 8.2 billion people. Of those 8.2 billion people, there are over 10,000 different religions. Every single one of those religions, without fail, all has the same aim. It all has the same goal. They're all promoting the same thing, which is what? Heaven. There's no religion promoting hell today. There's no religion that says, come and follow us. We're going to lead you to hell. No, I find that every single religion is promising eternity, is promising salvation, is promising a good life after death. But that's not the message of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says there are only two ways. There's not 10 ways, there's not 20 ways, there's not 10,000 ways, there's two ways. And every single one of those 8.2 billion people is going down one of those paths. They're going through one of those gates. They're going down one of those ways, and they will reach that destination of hell and destruction or of eternal life. The deciding factor, what way are they heading? What gate did they enter? What path are they being led down? Jesus is preaching a message of salvation, but he goes on to say, because there's only one way, because there's only one truth, because there's only one path that leads to heaven, look in verse 15, beware of false prophets. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. What is he saying? Because there's only one way. Be careful of anyone that would lead you down the wrong way. Beware of any religion that would take you down the wrong path. Beware of any set of rules or beliefs that would cause you to go down a path that is going to lead you to hell. There's only one way. There's not two ways. There's one way. And that way is only through Jesus Christ. He then goes on to say, beware of false teachers. But he also says, beware of being self-deceived. This one got me as I thought about it. This one is weighed heavy in my heart. Look what Jesus says in verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me, who's that many? It's the many that are going down that wrong path. It's the many that are being led astray. It's the many that have taken the broad path through the wide gate along the path that will lead to destruction. That many will say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name have done many works? Look at Jesus' response. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Jesus has said there's just one way to heaven. So because there's one way, don't be misled. Don't follow someone down the wrong path, but don't be self-deceived. Don't think you're going to end up there only to that day of judgment to find out that you will be expelled from heaven, that you can't get in, that you didn't make it on your own. Don't be self-deceived. Such a humbling reality to read this passage. If you could, look how they say, Lord, Lord. Not just Lord, I deserve to be here. No. Lord, Lord. The passion, the sincerity. The God, we were doing works for you. We professed your name. We were doing what we knew to do. We were obeying the rules. We were following the law. We were trying our very best to do what would please you. And we got here to find out, depart from me. I never knew you. You workers of iniquity. What is Jesus saying? Don't be self-deceived. Don't believe you're going to make it on your own only to find out you're not. Therefore, verse number 24, therefore, because there's only one way, because there are many false teachers who are leading people down a path of lies straight to hell, because there are many people who will be self-deceived, believing that they're on their way to heaven but aren't, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. It's not enough to hear it. You must hear and do. What is that? It is obedience to the word of God. It is the only way. There's no other way to get to heaven than through what Jesus Christ had to say. And so he gives the story of a wise man. Someone who took the time, who considered deeply the words of Jesus Christ. Who searched the scriptures to make sure that they were doing exactly what Jesus had commanded them. Not what man-made religion said. Not the rules of the day. Not the whatever seemed popular. No, what Jesus Christ said. If you read the parallel passage in Luke 6:48, it mentions that in the same wise man, he dug deep. He made sure that the foundation that his house was being built on was a worthy foundation. It was a sure foundation. It was a solid foundation. What was that foundation? It was Jesus Christ. You see, the truth of this story is that each man, just like every single one of us, is building a house. Every one of us is building a house. That house is our life. And while we may look at each other's houses and say, oh, their house looks good. I like the paint color on that house. That landscaping looks really nice. Oh, they have fruit trees out there. The reality is that once our house is built, no one sees the foundation. Right. No one but Jesus Christ. And while we may never see the foundation of each other's lives, God sees the foundation. And the Bible says that on that day of judgment, all will be revealed, that God will judge every one of our lives, and it's not going to be based on our good works. It's not going to be based on how often we went to church. It's not going to be based on did we live a good life, were we kind to people. It's going to be based off of one thing and one thing only, the foundation of our lives, that which we built on. You see, in this story, there's two foundations. One is a solid rock. Amen. That rock, very simply, is Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the solid rock. The Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. Why? He doesn't change. He's immovable. And like the solid rock, a house that is built on Jesus Christ and Him alone will stand the test of time. But every other house that's built on sand. What is sand? Itself. Isn't that what religion teaches? That if you do enough good works, that if you go to church enough, that if your good outweighs your bad, that if you pray this prayer X amount of times in a day, and if you give enough money to the church, then you can see someone brought out of purgatory and they can go to heaven. While that may sound great, that's not what Jesus Christ said. He said there's two ways. It's either through him or it's a road that leads to hell. The reality of this message that every single one of our lives is being built on something. I can't judge you and you can't judge me. But God will judge us. See, how could a loving God send anyone to hell? God doesn't send anyone to hell. In fact, as you go through and you read Genesis 1:1, all the way to the end of Revelation, you will find God's love is on every single page of Scripture. God, from the very beginning when Adam and Eve sinned, he knew what the end result was going to be. He already had a plan, a perfect sacrifice because of our sin. And can I just say, every one of us sins. There isn't no one who doesn't sin. We all sin. We all come short of the glory of God. Well, my goodness, my righteousness, my good works, the Bible says they're like filthy rags. That at our very best, we could never earn our own salvation. And so God had to intervene and sent his son, Jesus Christ, to come, to live a sinless life, to preach the truth of the word. Why? So people could hear and repent of their sins and turn to Jesus Christ. What is he saying? I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He is not a way. He is not a truth. He is not a life. He is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. And he is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Everyone today is building their house on something. The sad reality is that the majority of people are building their lives on themselves. And like a house that is built on sand, in the day of judgment, it will collapse. And great will be the destruction of it. Why? Because they will be cast into an eternity of hell. I wish it wasn't that way. I wish there was everyone could go, but that's not what a holy, righteous God has said. He said there's only one way. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What does that mean? That salvation comes by grace alone. What is grace? It's God's unmerited favor. It's not something we could ever earn. It's not something we deserve. It's not something we can hit a punch list to eventually make our way to. No. It's 100% of God because he loves us. But it's through faith alone. Not faith in going to church. Not faith in good works. Not faith in giving to the offering. No, it is through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. It's the only way. Today, every single one of us is either 100% reliant on Jesus Christ to take us to heaven, or we are 100% on our way to hell. That's a powerful statement, but that's what Jesus said. That there's no other way. There's no other truth, and there's no other life. No amount of what we could do could ever earn our place in heaven. So I ask you this question this morning. What foundation are you building your life upon? What foundation are you building your life upon? Say, Brother Fanera, don't you know where you're preaching? Don't you know what the North Valley Baptist Church has done? I can't get past that part of the scriptures where Jesus says that there will be many who profess Jesus Christ. They professed him, but they did not possess him. They did good works, but they did not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I can't help but be burdened today to think that there is perhaps someone or many someones here today. And you're here because you thought, well, by going to church, maybe I can make my way to heaven. And as that offering plate was passed, you maybe put money in there thinking that I can give money and that's a good deed that will help me get to heaven. But it's no works of righteousness that we can do. It's only by His grace. This morning, we are either on our way to heaven or we are on our way to hell. It's true of every single person in this room and every single person in this world. The sad reality is that many will go through a wide gate. Many will go down a broad path. Many will be led astray and they'll be self-deceived and they'll think they're doing a good thing and living a good life to come to that final day of judgment to hear Jesus Christ say, "Depart from me. I never knew you, ye workers of iniquity." The wise man built his house upon the rock. The rain fell, the wind blew, the waves crashed, but the house stood firm because it was built on the rock. That rock is Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.